Today is Palm Sunday, and it is also Passion Sunday. Our readings for today are from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, and Matthew, Gospel of Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 through 19. Today's message is titled, The Appointed Time. Hear the Word of God from Philippians chapter 2. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Our Gospel is from Matthew chapter 26. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. The sermon title is The Appointed Time. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, please come and calm our hearts during these uncertain times. Grant us confidence in your compassion and your unfailing love, for you are the living God, the mighty Maker who died for his own creatures' sins. Hear our worship and praise, O Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was hoping for yesterday's weather to be here this morning, but yesterday's weather was beautiful. And for me, it seemed life was so normal. Neighbors mowing the grass. Down the street, the kids were enjoying the new trampoline in their backyard. Kids across the street were playing in their yards. Families walking and riding bicycles together, too. I said to Heather as she was doing her spring cleaning in the yard, life seems so normal right now, and I know it's not. Do you have that same feeling? A strangeness about daily life, going on with life and at the same time not going on with life? One day moves to the next day and time seems to be moving ever so slowly. As the original stay-at-home order was to conclude tomorrow evening, with life returning back to normal this week. That's what we expected. But now these days will continue for a whole nother month. Stay at home till May 1st. Will that day bring conclusion to these days of uncertainty, or will another extension be ordered? Will our children return to school before the school year is out, or will the school year conclude with distant learning, making use of Google Classroom, email, and various forms of video FaceTime online? Have you wondered, where is God in all of this? How is God going to redeem the moment and bring glory to his name? Or have you wondered or thought or even said out loud, God, don't you care? Those thoughts, those feelings are normal. They're a normal part of the experience of the things of life and the faith life. They're normal too. The Lord will see us through these days. Consider what the Lord has already done in the past. Pay particular attention. Pay that particular attention to his dying on the cross for our sins. If the living God, our mighty Maker, died for his own creature's sins, will the same living God ignore us in these days of trial and uncertainty and suffering? The witness of Scripture is the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Of that you can be certain. These days, these times are ripe for the faith in you to grow deeper roots and greater assurance of the goodness of God. Turn to and give heed to these amazing words from Scripture, from Philippians chapter 2, that describe Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And don't forget how Paul was guided by the Holy Spirit to begin this section. So I take you to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 that set up what I just read. Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, wrote, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." In these days, our hearts and our minds, our souls, can grow deeper roots of faith, and we can grasp more this attitude of Christ. We live in a world that's me first. I'm number one. I am more important. I'm better than you. Right now, the opportunity through these challenges, these sufferings, we can learn what Paul wrote about when he was guided by the Holy Spirit and described here. In humility, consider others. Look to the interest of others. In real word and real time description, you really don't need 3 months of TP stockpiled at home. What are people thinking about these days that are causing shelves to be emptied in the stores? Is that a nature of a servant? Is that being humble and obedient? Is that taking on the nature of Christ? Something to really wrestle with, especially as we now are in Palm Sunday and entering Holy Week with Passion Sunday, the focus here too. And these events that unfold in Jerusalem are the real world application of these attitudes of Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Remember, as Jesus was growing up, his family would go year after year to Jerusalem for the Passover. You find this in Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. You most likely recall that what Jesus did when he was 12 years old, how he stayed behind in Jerusalem and it took Mary and Joseph 3 days to find Jesus, and they found him in the temple with the teachers. Remember, Jesus answered Joseph and Mary. He answered he had to be about his father's house business. And all around were amazed at Jesus' answers and understanding. I bring this up, this regularly being present in Jerusalem for the Passover, to help you gain understanding. The Gospel of John gives evidence that Jesus attended at least 3 annual feasts of the Passover. Yet working out the timeline of Jesus' ministry, the likelihood of a 4th annual Passover feast being attended to with his disciples in Jerusalem is very strongly to be argued and considered. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke only write about the final time Jesus was in Jerusalem celebrating the Passover with his disciples. Remember, the law that every Jewish male was expected to attend the 3 main festivals and attend them in Jerusalem: the Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Shavuot is also known as Pentecost and also known as the Feast of First Fruits or Feast of Weeks. Sukkot is also known as the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus, in his growing up years, every year attended Passover in Jerusalem. More than likely as an adult, when Jesus was the carpenter, he would have continued this faith habit. And most likely, Jesus would have continued this obedience of faith with his disciples too. What this means is that Jesus, with his disciples, was in Jerusalem for at least 2 Passovers, and very likely 3 Passovers. before this final Passover feast. What this means is Jesus entered Jerusalem without fanfare on two different occasions for Passover, and most likely three times. Jesus was in Jerusalem celebrating that Passover two or three times with his disciples, doing as nothing different as was before. Keep this in mind as I build the scene and read a short verse from the gospel today, a verse that seems innocuous and unassuming, yet I will show you is packed with explosive meaning. The scene is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The disciples come to Jesus, as they likely had done in previous Passovers, asking him where to make the preparations to eat the Passover. Now, keep in mind, Jerusalem is bursting at the seams with pilgrims. Hundreds of thousands have come to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. Hundreds of thousands. Yet, with that huge number, hundreds of thousands coming to Jerusalem for the Passover, the place to find a room to celebrate the Passover was important, if not near impossible. The disciples' question is a good question and a valid question. Where do you want us to make preparations? Now, it is Jesus' answer that is filled with explosive power. Matthew chapter 26, verse 18. He replied, that is Jesus, replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" Did you hear the explosive power of Jesus' words? If not, I'll give you the clue. It's located in the phrase, "My appointed time is near." Hoc keros mou eges enstin. That's the Greek. And in the Greek, word for word, it's, "The time of me is near." And the explosive power is found in that word, kairos. Kairos, it's translated as time. It's distinctive in meaning, and it doesn't translate well into English, as there's no proper equivalent in English for kairos. Merriam-Webster dictionary defines kairos as a time when conditions are right for the accomplishment of a crucial action, the opportune, decisive moment. You find this same word in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Translated here as right time is that Greek word kairos. In a sense, kairos is similar to the idiom, strike while the iron is hot. Yet not quite similar. The iron is hot, strike. But step back and consider what made the iron hot and ready to strike. Kairos, is that word, Greek word kairos, is more akin to all the surrounding circumstances coming together, making the iron hot and ready for striking. In Greek, there's another word that can be translated as time, and you'd likely recognize it, and that word is chronos. Chronos emphasizes the duration of time. Chronos is linear and quantitative. Kairos is nonlinear and qualitative. Both mean time, but their essence, a meaning of time, are vastly different. Kairos is things are coming to a head, fire action, decisive action. And that is what's happening in Jerusalem and to Jesus. A time is building to a head, and this Passover is that kairos, that time. Unlike the previous Passovers, with Jesus entering Jerusalem as any other pilgrim with his disciples, this Passover, Jesus rode into Jerusalem in the manner of a king. The people spread their garments and branches from trees on the road before Jesus. Great choruses of "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Those choruses reverberated and stirred up the whole city of Jerusalem. Remember what Hosanna means. Hosanna is a plea. Save! It's a plea for salvation. That word Hosanna is pleading for salvation. So as Jesus the King is riding in Jerusalem, the people are pleading for salvation. And Jesus is entering Jerusalem. in fulfillment of prophecy written about in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Things are in motion. The time is now. Kairos. Judas has already agreed to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Things are in motion. Kairos. Judas just needed an opportunity when Jesus was away from the crowds to betray him. But it's much more than this that makes it Kairos. This moment has been in the making for thousands of years. This time was chosen back in Egypt when God gave Moses the sign of deliverance, being the Passover lamb's blood on the door beam and lintel posts. Seeing the sign of the blood, death would pass over. This is why the Feast of Passover is this appointed time. Not another festival like Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That would seem most likely and theologically the day to do this, the Day of Atonement. But yet, it was the Passover lamb. Remember in Scripture, John chapter 1, John the Baptist points to Jesus saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This Passover is the decisive action promised from Genesis chapter 3 also, where in Genesis chapter 3, the promise was given, the crushing of the serpent's head. It was foretold in Genesis 3. Right after the fall into sin, the promise of redeeming was given, the crushing of the head of the serpent. This is the night that the Passover feast ordained by God in Exodus chapter 12 would be forever changed by the Son of God. Lifting the bread, Jesus gave thanks and broke the bread, giving it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." This is the night Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, saying, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins." This is the Kairos of betrayal and suffering, brutal beating and scourging and nailing to a cross to be crucified, the mighty Maker dying for his creatures' sins. Such simple words said by Jesus, "My appointed time is near," are profound, are explosive in meaning. All of human history is coming to this moment, this night, when Jesus will pray, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Included in this Kairos is the next day when Jesus will say, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And this Kairos includes that moment when Jesus cries out with a loud voice, "It is finished." The redemption price is paid in full with his own blood. Jesus, as the Passover lamb, paid the price to redeem you and me and all who call on his name in faith. Included in this Kairos is the empty tomb too. Jesus rose from the dead, never to die. He will come again in all his power and glory one day to take us to be with him forever in heaven. So see, these days that you're at home with this stay-at-home order, see them ahead as Kairos time. Don't count the days as Chronos time, just marking off the minutes and hours and days. Instead, see this period as a time of Kairos, a time which can reveal the glory of God, a time for faith to grow deeper roots, a time for another to see through us what following Christ looks like, and another may call upon Christ in faith and be redeemed. It is Kairos time to know the deeper meaning of grace and peace and Christ's own words. when Christ said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And also that promise of Christ, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Lord bless you and keep you in His grace, giving you peace. Amen and amen.